Hurry into Menards right now and save big money. Miracle-Gro raised bed soil helps you grow bigger, more bountiful plants. It provides the right foundation your plants need to thrive with a 100% organic formula that requires no mixing. Add Miracle-Gro raised bed soil to help your plants grow with organic nutrients you can count on. Visit our garden center or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hour number two, Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Thursday, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are practicing social distancing on this show. We're doing a first. I'm here in my home studio here in Rutherford County. Willie is over on the east side representing East Nashville. Chase is over on the west side representing things, holding down the fort. In his studios, Elijah Campbell, back at our Wholesale Link studios, powered by Rumble On there on Murfreesboro Pike next to the airport. So we're scattered all over the place. Hour number two underway, and Dennis Kelly is going to help with the scattering. We bring him on via the telephone. I don't know exactly where Dennis is, but he has inked a new deal with the Titans, and the Undertaker now joins us. Dennis, how you doing?
I'm doing well, guys. Thanks for having me.
This is a little bit different times we're in right now. What I guess you're getting to know the family. What are you doing right now?
Yeah, this is definitely a very, very weird time right now. I have a month-old baby.
Wow.
So we have already kind of been doing that, you know, the social distancing on our own. So we're in week four at this point. So the 4-year-old and the 2-year-old are getting pretty testy, and they're testing their boundaries right now. So my wife and I are definitely working our way through and trying to find ways to keep them entertained, but obviously, you know, keep them away from as many people as we can currently.
Yeah, you guys got your hands full right now. So this is – you get to be full-on dad right now.
Yeah, we picked a hell of a time to add to the family, that's for sure.
Was this an easy – decision for you? Was this an easy process? This is part of the business, but take us through it and how you arrived to coming back to Tennessee and being with the Titans.
Yeah, you know, my wife and I, our family, we really, really, I love Nashville. You know, it's one of those things where when the trade happened, you know, it kind of gave us a breath of fresh air in terms of playing football and being involved in the NFL, and the city has just been very welcoming and very receptive of us. And so in that regard, it made it an easy choice. On the professional level, there's always that. You get in, you test the market, you see what some other people are saying, and you know, you try and do what's best for you and your family. And you know, the whole time, this pretty much my entire career, I've been asking for a chance to start. And you know, I knew here in Tennessee, I know the coaches and other players. It's like that all fit really well. It's just, you know, getting that opportunity to show that I can be a starter in this league.
Let's go back, because I don't think we've ever talked about this with you. Let's go back to the day that you were traded from Philadelphia to here. Mm-hmm. At the time, just go back to that mindset and going back to your family. What did you think at the time? When that trade initially happened, were you excited? Were you perplexed? Were you like, oh, my gosh, what does this mean? Because obviously you've just told us how you feel today now that
right.
You've been here for a while. But what was it like then, Dennis?
You know, it was a very – a whirlwind is a good way to explain it, especially because that was Doug Peterson's first year, and he was in Philly my rookie year with Andy Reid. And so I felt really comfortable again knowing the offense, and I was understanding with the coaches, so I felt really confident that, like, I knew what was going on. There were rumblings that Lane Johnson was going to have his second suspension, so I was already like, okay, I might be playing a bunch this year. And then as we're getting ready for our last practice at camp, they come and grab me and say, you know, Howie wants to talk to you. And it's like, oh, boy. Like,
yeah.
I knew I wasn't getting cut because I just played really well in that preseason game, but I was like, well, this is probably a goodbye, guys. And, yeah, there's just a lot of not confusion, but just kind of nervous excitement. You know, didn't really know what I was getting myself into. I had to, you know, look at who the coaches were. You know, found out obviously it was, you know, Malarkey and that Russ Grimm was the O-line coach. And I talked to him when I was going through the draft processing because he was out in Arizona. But other than that, I didn't really know that much about the roster or anything. So there was a time of leaving my wife and my oldest, who was a little over a year at the time, and just like, I got to go, like, figure the house out, I guess. And so, yeah, you know, but when I got here, it was the team and the organization did a really good job of making it a smooth transition of trying to, you know, Mike Sullivan did, him and I really were able to form a good relationship with him trying to catch me up and us being able to relate. But yeah, it's a whirlwind for sure.
What was last season? Let me phrase it this way. When did you know, did you guys know, because I think everybody wants to know if you can come into a season with expectations, but sometimes things just unfold. I mean, nobody saw it coming with the Predators run to the Stanley Cup final back, you know, 4 years ago. Nobody saw that coming. It just happened. But things have to happen in a room, as you know, Dennis. There's got to be chemistry. And you're in it every day, so you see things outsiders don't. When did you know that last year had a chance to go, you know, the direction everybody wanted it to go? When did you know that something special was happening?
You know, I will say, because I was talking to a couple of players actually about it yesterday, when we were back in OTAs, our offense was humming. And compared to 2018, with all the new coaches and everything, it definitely felt like the defense had the upper hand during those spring, you know, practices, so to speak, where that wasn't the case this past offseason. So there was definitely one of those – there was a vibe of like, okay, we have something here. We got to keep it going. And obviously, beginning of the year happened, and I think that might have added to some of the – I don't say frustration, but just kind of the, like, we know we can do it. Why aren't we doing it? And I think there was being able to step back and kind of understand, and everyone just like almost taking a breath and be like, we've shown we can do this before. We've had spurts even in the games where we were in that first half of the season where it wasn't going our way to show that we can do it. Let's just, you know, build the chemistry back, get that rhythm back, and you know, get it rolling.
We're talking to Dennis Kelly, offensive tackle and great utility man, and now the projected starter for the Tennessee Titans, signing and re-upping with his team. And Dennis, I want to ask you something, because I think we're all looking for direction, and I know the league has put directives out there, but in terms of athletes that are trying to stay in shape for the time we have going forward, I know the picture is not clear, but you know, you're a professional athlete. You want to stay in shape. You were just talking about the importance of the off season, and we know the off season is going to be very different for everybody, especially in the NFL. So, what are you personally doing to stay in shape? What's the program like for you? What have you been told?
So there's only so much that they can actually tell us legally with the CBA and everything. But timing wise, it kind of worked out for me because I installed my own personal gym down in my basement because with having the new baby, it just with convenience wise, it would be easier having the stuff at the house instead of going over to the gym that I usually work out at. So I have everything I need in that regard. And it's kind of the same story for me, just doing what I've been doing, you know, in past years. And that, you know, I'm preparing. You know, obviously, we don't play any games until September, but, you know, the off-season program may start, it may not start, we don't know. So you kind of just have to make sure that you're ready for the off chance that they're like, all right, in 2 weeks, you guys are coming in.
And that is something that I know you've always excelled in, the mental preparation, at times being able to slide into any number of roles, including a pass catcher. But what is that like? How did you learn how to get good at that, because that is such an important thing for all athletes and really all people, right? The mental preparation for being able to excel when your name is called.
Yeah, I think obviously a little bit out of necessity to continue being able to play in the league. If you're not a starter, you got to find a way to make sure that you're versatile and able to help the team in multiple ways, not just, you know, one trick pony, so to speak. And mentally, I talked to Taylor about it a lot all the time. I was like, I hate that feeling of unknown. I like the being prepared aspect of it is kind of what drives me. And so with that, you know, I'd rather be over-prepared and not be needed instead of being needed and being like, well, wish I had watched some more film this week. So that's kind of the way I always approached it, and it worked out in my favor.
We're talking to Dennis Kelly, Titans offensive lineman. And Dennis, at the end of the season, I asked Taylor this question of, you know, you guys made an incredible run to the AFC Championship game and came up a little bit short, but we all know that it's a business. There are going to be changes in a locker room. There are guys that are leaving your room. We know Jarrell Casey was traded yesterday to Denver. Mm-hmm. What is that like of finding the balance of you want to keep the group together, you want to try and finish what you started, but you also know that you have to make those changes to keep up with the rest of the league?
Yeah, it's a really fascinating process of the business that we play, just because, you know, there's money involved, there's, you know, my personal product is my talent, and at some point there's going to be a regression. Like, that's just science and that's nature. And so there's always the argument of, do we want to get out, you know, kind of the buy low, sell high type process when it comes to a player, where you don't want to hold on to a player for too long. But at the same time, you know, there's, like I mentioned, the salary cap is always moving. You know, there's rumors with the new CBA deal that it's supposed to blow up next year. So there's so many different moving parts to try and, like you said, maintain a team that got, you know, was arguably a half away from making it to the Super Bowl. And so, you know, the front office has, you know, a really hard job to try and find that perfect, delicate balance of good experience, good talent, good youth, you know, good leadership, all of it to meld together.
The offensive line is a very tight-knit group, but you're also very tight with the quarterback, the guy that you're paid to protect. Ryan gets the long-term deal. What was it about him that he was able to command that locker room, command that huddle, and take over, and ultimately now he's the quarterback for the foreseeable future?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I think it's I talked about it yesterday, and the whole situation with him coming in and replacing Marcus was a very – unique situation because of the position that kind of put both of those two men at. And, you know, Marcus is so well-liked in the locker room, the organization, in the city, is such a great person. And there's that aspect where Ryan is just as great in all of those things I just mentioned. There's that dynamic of, how is this going to go over? You know, you're replacing him. You know, there's this. And there wasn't any tension, there wasn't any drama, there wasn't any issues with it from either side of it. And when Ryan came in, he just took it over and made sure that things looked the way that he wanted them to look. And so there was that aspect of it's almost like he just stepped in and it's like, all right, this is what we're doing, this is how we're rolling, and this is where we're going. And I think that calming presence, that calming leadership, I think really brought the guys together.
Now, I'm a big wrestling fan. I've seen you out at AEW and a couple of different events. How did the whole Undertaker – I mean, you do have a striking resemblance to the Dead Man, but how did the whole Undertaker thing start?
You know, it's funny. I think a combination of the size and, you know, I've always wanted long hair, partially because of my fandom of wrestling. And the coincidence that I kind of have that – a similar appearance to him is just, you know, obviously coincidence, but, you know, sometimes you just kind of have to lean into it, right?
Absolutely. Have you met him?
No, I haven't. That is one, you know, bucket list thing that I would like to do.
That's awesome. Dennis, last thing real quick. So you guys passed the new CBA. You brought that up just a minute ago. Were you pleased the direction moving forward, or were you a little disappointed?
You know, I think with any negotiation, you're going to get some things that you like, some things that you don't like. You know, I think there's a lot of good that can come from the CBA. And, you know, at the end of the day, it essentially all comes down to money. And with, you know, this extra game, the extra playoff game, there's projections that there's going to be a lot of the money. So and that can help guys not just in their salary but with the benefits and taking care of themselves after football, because I think that's growing to be more and more there's more awareness about it. You know, obviously, you know, when I was growing up, no one really thought that when a professional football player finished playing that he wasn't going to be fine for the rest of his life. That was just like, okay, that he's good. Or, you know, reports came out and just came out, they had the 30 for 30 bro. You know, things started coming out saying that, you know, it's not always the way people make it out to be. And so I think that this new CBA and what we were able to get, they should be able to, again, to help ease the transition. I think that's the biggest thing, is trying to help guys find their way and what they want to do after football.
Yeah, good stuff. Hey, really appreciate the visit. Good luck with the little ones at home, and we look forward to talking to you down the road when you guys get cranked up again.
Awesome. Appreciate it, guys.
All right, that is Dennis Kelly, who just inked a new deal and is expected to be the replacement for Jack Conklin over at right tackle. We will come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase on the other side. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Thank you, Roman. Enjoy the dogs. Enjoy your time social distancing. That's exactly what we're doing today and for the foreseeable future. All three of us are representing different areas of town. I'm south. Willie's east. Chase is west. Elijah is there on Murfreesboro Pike at our studios, our Wholesale Inc. studios, powered by Rumble On. Appreciate Dennis Kelly for joining us. Titans inked him to a deal, and I don't know about you guys, but he's an easy guy to root for, right? I mean,
absolutely.
What a story. He is, I mean, a guy who was a fifth-round pick, and you just heard it in there that he even thought going, think about this, he's been waiting for this real opportunity, you know, going back to Philadelphia. You just heard it. And he's been looking to be kind of that everyday guy. It's one thing, like he plays like almost every game, right? But he wants to be that starter. He wants to be the guy, and he's really never had that opportunity. I think what the most he's ever started in a season is maybe half of a year, and now he's going to get that opportunity. It's very clear, one, he's earned it because of his play. Two, he's also getting this opportunity. I think it's a lot of what we just said, though, and what we just heard. He's a very, very likable guy, and you know he's extremely, extremely popular in that room.
Yeah, I agree with that. And look, I think that he earned this spot by playing the utility role over the last four seasons. Hard to believe he's been here four seasons. But I also think that John Robinson and Mike Vrabel saw what he did in the first four games when he filled in for Taylor Lewan and said, you know what, this is a guy that needs to remain on this roster. And clearly you don't make that decision until the end of the season and see how everything else plays out. But I think he did so much during those four games that it convinced them, or it actually confirmed what they already knew of, we need to keep him here.
I just think, you know, you think about great stories. You mentioned it, Darren. I was glad to hear you ask him about the lead up to the trade, because I mean, I go back and it's one of the things that, you know, I would cringe if I heard some of the things that I said.
Oh, I remember that day vividly.
Because I didn't know anything about Dennis Kelly. I don't think any of us did.
Well, I didn't either, even though
But you know what? It makes me wonder how much John Robinson knew about the character, right? You always have a profile of a player, but it kind of goes back to, I'm sure, the scouting, you know, the people who did their homework on Dennis Kelly when he came into the league. I'm sure they had some information there that sort of led them to believe, you know, he may not be the most talented guy out there, and there's a reason he hasn't been a starter before, but there's some good intangibles here, and maybe he's moving in the right direction, because that was the problem with Dorial Green-Beckham, right? He was an immense talent, but he didn't have the intangibles, the things that were leading you down the road of this guy is going to reach his potential. That was the call that they made that day. It's always a gamble, because I still believed that Dorial Green-Beckham was a guy that could still blossom. But, you know, it's turned out to be one of the more shrewd trades of John Robinson's tenure here, for sure.
I remember the day vividly, and look, just for the record, the three of us didn't know anything about Dennis Kelly, but the three at the time, and Chase, you were behind the glass, correct?
Yep.
So D-Mace and you, Willie, were not in favor of this because it was more on the DGB side of things that you know, you don't give up on a guy like that this early in his career. And I was more on the DGB side, too, the other way, saying this is John Robinson coming in as a new GM and saying, look, because we had heard stuff about Dorial Green-Beckham. I mean, it's not like there wasn't stuff out there on him.
Well, he had this stuff back in college.
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, like I said, there's been a book out on him. It's not like anybody was like, what? DGB problem? What? Yes, of course. I mean, remember, he got kicked out of Missouri. He was not, he didn't finish at Missouri, okay? So, that, I mean, there's been stuff on him, and I was in favor of just John Robinson setting a culture. He was coming in and saying, that doesn't fit our culture. Now, I ended up being right for different reasons. That's all, Willie. It's not like the three of us knew nothing about Dennis Kelly. I don't think even I picked the right side by accident. It's not like I ever dreamed that this trade would work out the way it has. I mean, you go back right now and you look. I mean, nothing I don't know is ever going to beat the Ryan Tannehill trade for John Robinson. But all of his trades, for the most part, have all been spectacular trades for the organization, and I would say at the time, DeMarco Murray, of course, would get everybody's attention because of who he is and what he had done. This really gathered no attention at all. But now, as we sit here today in 2020, you know, you look back and you go, wow, what a steal that trade was for the Titans. I mean, a steal. I mean, this guy has been so incredibly valuable to what they're doing, and it's good to see what he's done. He's waited his time, and now he's been rewarded, and now going to get, I think, that opportunity to finally start for a full season, and we'll see how it plays out.
You know what's funny? I just thought about this analogy, but and you guys probably will agree with it because you've seen it. Dennis Kelly's a lot like me. He was a utility player, and then now he gets his chance to, you know, to be on the other side of the glass and get to start, and that's, you know, that's kind of how I went about it. You know, just doing what was asked and worked my way up. But now he gets the chance to be that guy. And think about this. Now that they have the deal done, a lot of people have been, you know, speculating that the Titans would use that 29th pick on a tackle as a potential replacement for Jack Conklin. They don't necessarily have to do that now. They can use that for another need that they have on this roster, because they know that they have somebody in Dennis Kelly that he's going to be able to man that spot at right tackle.
Well, here's another comparison that you can make, Chase, with yourself and Dennis Kelly, and I'm reminded by our friend Kathleen of this, that, you know, when Dennis Kelly lines up as the extra offensive lineman, really a tight end, and they announce on the PA number 71 is eligible, you two are still eligible.
It's true.
It's a good point. Didn't really even think about that.
Yeah, it's very good. Maybe eligible at different things, but eligible.
Do we think that he is indeed going to, that they're going to turn things over to him, and that's the case?
And see, I think that's a question. I think they could go either way. But the good thing is you have a guy that you know could start. And if it's going to be for a full season, I think they'd be all right with that. If it's for a half a season while they groom somebody else, and then Dennis Kelly goes back into his role that he's been so successful in, a guy you could plug in anywhere, you know, that could happen after 1 year, after 2 years, but I think that the only thing that is important for the Titans is if Dennis Kelly is the starter, that might be fine. But then who's the next Dennis Kelly? They're going to have to find that guy.
Yeah,
and that may not be
point,
too
Willie.
Easy. That's maybe the trick here.
That because is
I think
point.
That's what's been so successful is having him that can be the Swiss Army knife, even the pass-catching Swiss Army knife. You need to try and find another one of those guys. Now, David Quisenberry, who is still on the roster that had some time on, you know, in the practice squad and also the main roster last year, he actually caught a touchdown pass. He could be that guy.
Maybe. We'll ask Terry McCormick all of this and more on the other side. Willie, I did want to let you know, if you did have plans to go down to Puerto Rico at the end of April, cancel them because the Mets and the Marlins are not playing in Puerto Rico. That game has been canceled, or that series has been canceled and will not be rescheduled. So just want to let you know that in case you were planning on going to see the Mets and Marlins in Puerto Rico end of April, don't. Baseball has just come out and said that's not going to happen. So just wanted to pass that along. We will come back and speak with Terry McCormick from TitanInsider.com. On the other side, Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5, The Game. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase on this Thursday. Hope everybody's having a good day and practicing social distancing like we are. We are in our homes. Elijah is back at our Hosel Link Studios, powered by Rumble On, and Terry McCormick from Titan Insider joins us via the telephone. Terry, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. I guess about as well as could be expected under these circumstances.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We just had a really good conversation with Dennis Kelly, who just signed a new deal with the Titans, and we were talking with him about what he thinks his future is with the Titans, as in that position full-time. We were talking about that, kind of tossing that around in the last segment. Do you believe that indeed that this is their option for Jack Conklin, that Dennis Kelly is going to move into the full-time role for the first time in his career?
I think he's going to get the first shot at it. Now, that said, because they really only have two tackles on the roster of any measure, that being Dennis Kelly and Taylor Lewan, they'll probably reach into the draft somewhere, maybe second, third, fourth round, and get somebody just as a little bit of insurance. But I think that Dennis Kelly's going to get the first crack at it. But I wouldn't rule out that there might be a little bit of competition from the draft.
We're going down to Atlanta to kick off the next hour and find out from Chris Domino how he feels about the Vic Beasley signing. How do you feel about the Vic Beasley signing?
I think it's good from the standpoint that there's not a lot of money or length of time invested in it. I think, Beasley has a reputation, I guess, a little bit as an underachiever in some people's minds, never really following up with that 15.5 sack season he had a few years ago. And in my mind, I think the Titans are taking a good calculated risk here, because if it doesn't work out, they can move on after 1 year. If it does, he can do like Ryan Tannehill and put down some roots here and be here for the next 2, 3, 4 years.
Yes, but as I said yesterday, so here's a guy who's got has been labeled. And the only way you're going to get off the label is prove it. So, but he's on a prove it deal. And so what if he responds to a prove it deal? Are you then prepared to turn around and give the guy who's been labeled as a classic underachiever, not living up to the draft pick, has all kinds of potential, hasn't done it on a consistent basis, then you're going to give him a long-term deal and reward him with big bucks?
Well, I think it's a calculated risk, and I think if you're the Titans, I'll just say this. I think if you're the Titans, you'd like to be in that position to have to make that decision, because that
sure.
means he's been productive for you, and he's helped your team probably make a pretty deep playoff push. So in that regard, I think that's where John Robinson and the Titans are on this front. And if things don't work out, if they feel like that, he's had a big year, but he's doing it on a contract year, you can always let him walk and, go after the next guy or something like that. So I think it's set up as a win-win for the Titans. And it also probably doesn't hurt that, much like Ryan Tannehill, Vic Beasley has the same representation that John Robinson does. So there, he's doing Vic Beasley a favor. He's hoping Vic Beasley will do him a favor as well.
What was your shock meter like yesterday when you learned that Jarrell Casey had been shipped to Denver?
I'd say pretty shocked. I think a lot of people were. And, you know, probably the biggest part of it is what they got in return. And when you look at it, it's obvious that it's a salary cap move. It's a move to get some cap space, some relief, about $10, $11 million worth, that sort of thing. And you wonder what they're going to do with that cap space. Are they going to turn around and make an offer to a Jadeveon Clowney? Are they going to try to extend Derrick Henry rather than have him play on the franchise tag? Are they going to go try to re-sign Logan Ryan at cornerback? You know, they've got some options here that they didn't have. But to lose a guy like Jarrell Casey, you know, not only does it hurt you on the field with what he's capable of doing, a five-time Pro Bowler, a guy who's been a fixture here since 2011, think about all the leadership that's walked out of this locker room in the offseason. Jarrell Casey, Delanie Walker, Wesley Woodyard, possibly Logan Ryan. You're really down to just a couple of guys, two or three guys, who have that leadership quality to rally this locker room. You're talking about Kevin Byard, Ben Jones, you know, maybe one or two others, Derrick Henry. But you're really starting to get thin in the leadership department, and you're wondering, as you get younger, who is this team going to rally around?
I'll tell you what, Terry, it's a really good question. And so if you had to answer that, right, knowing what we know, and as you said, it remains to be seen what happens with somebody like a Logan Ryan, but who would you say would be the leadership group as it stands now among the veterans? Because I do think it's something that is valued by John Robinson. It's valued by Mike Vrabel. You hope that others can grow into those roles, but who would be the candidates?
Well, I think it's probably the people that you've invested the big money in. You know, I mean, you don't necessarily want to put it all on money, but you know that Kevin Byard is a core guy. You know he's one of the core people in your core. You know that, even though I don't know that he has the leadership personality that you normally peg with that, because he's a free-spirited type of guy, but Taylor Lewan's going to have to be a leader. Ben Jones is going to have to be a leader. Ryan Tannehill, being your quarterback, is going to have to step in and be a leader. So, you know, there are some guys there. You know, Vrabel raved about Derrick Henry's leadership role that he grew into last year. So there are a lot of guys that are going to have to step up and fill that void.
Terry, I do want to know, as somebody that I'm sure was very interested at the time, we had some fun with this the other day, and I'm anxious to see what is coming in the coming days. We know we're in an era now in the next several weeks where we're going to see a lot of replays of classic games. Did you catch any of the Pine Tar game the other night on MLB Network? They showed it a couple of times in its entirety, the George Brett homer off of Goose Gosses. It was really compelling to me to see. Where were you for the Pine Tar game?
Wow. I did not get to see the replay. I remember just hearing about it and seeing it, you know, on the replay and things like that. It's just amazing to see, you know, George Brett just lose his mind. And then the cold calculatedness of Billy Martin knowing the rule and bringing it to the umpire's attention to cause the whole thing. It's just pretty amazing when you look back on it.
We're talking to Terry McCormick, TitanInsider.com. So going back to the cap space, we know that it's usually about $8 million that you have to set aside for the draft. And there are, you know, positions of need, whether it's cornerback or another offensive lineman, another pass rusher. But with all the cap space that they now have, do you think that could open the door more for Logan Ryan, or is there a trade? What in your mind do you think it is?
Well, I've learned that you never say never with John Robinson. You know, Logan Ryan might be a possibility. You know, it seems like that he's not found very many suitors, at least here in the early going of free agency. You know, the thing with Jadeveon Clowney, you know, if his asking price comes down, it might be an option for them, because Mike Vrabel has a history with him, having coached him in the past in Houston. as far as what else they might need. I think you might see them go get a couple of guys who maybe are not stars, but guys who can fill in on special teams and be backups and maybe compete for a starting spot. They've got several different areas that they can go as they start to enter the low-budget phase of free agency, which will probably start next week.
What do you think is going to happen more on the Derrick Henry front? I mean, we know he's been franchise tag, and look, with this cap, you know, a lot of people have said, well, they're clearing cap space for him. Well, there's not really going to – the $10 million, pretty much you can already factor that in there or whatever it is for the franchise tag. But do you think we get a long-term deal at some point before training camp?
I'd say it's about 50-50, and that's just my opinion. I don't know have anything really to base that on. I think the thing that you run into with the franchise tag is a guy holding out. And I know that everybody points to Derrick Henry being a workout warrior and doing all the things that he needs to be in the right kind of shape. But there is a difference in football shape and workout shape. And if he doesn't show up until right before the first game, you run the risk that he's going to pull a hamstring or a calf injury or something like that that could set him back. We've seen it numerous times, guys who hold out during the offseason and stay away because of the franchise tag wind up getting hurt, that sort of thing. But I think it would benefit the Titans and Derrick Henry both if they could somehow come to some sort of resolution that would pay Derrick Henry some of, you know, what he's earned for past performance and what they feel like he can give them over the next 2 to 3 years before running backs inevitably start to decline. And also it would benefit the Titans because they know that they would have a healthy, happy Derrick Henry who would be around for all the offseason program whenever that starts.
What do you think the market is for Delanie Walker?
Saw something yesterday that was put out there that he was drawing some interest from, I think, the Redskins, the Colts, and the Packers. To me, if I'm looking at those three options, I'm crossing the Redskins off the list because I think they're dysfunctional and not a contender. If I'm Delanie Walker, I'm looking at a chance to have another shot at a Super Bowl. And so I think the Colts adding Phillip Rivers would be a nice touch because it looks like they're going to move on from Eric Ebron. The Packers lost Jimmy Graham. I think Delanie Walker would be a good fit there. So if he winds up at one of those two spots, I think you'll see Delanie Walker maybe in a more limited role than what he had here. If he can stay healthy, could be a productive guy working with a good quarterback.
Terry, last thing, do you really believe this team is going into training camp with Logan Woodside as the backup to Ryan Tannehill, or do you think they're going to look for a veteran guy?
I think they're going to have to look for somebody. With all due respect to Logan Woodside, I can't imagine that if you've got a team that you feel like is a solid Super Bowl contender, you know, went to the AFC Championship game last year, one step away from reaching the Super Bowl, that if something were to happen to Ryan Tannehill, if he were to sprain an ankle and miss 2 or 3 games, that you would trust an untested Logan Woodside to be your guy to get you through that stretch. I think you have to go get somebody. I would let the market settle down and just see. Who knows? Maybe a guy like Jameis Winston or Andy Dalton comes at a reasonable price, or, you know, that somebody mentioned Joe Flacco possibly getting cut as an option as well. So there's going to be some veteran options out there. And then the other thing, too, that you can't rule out, they won't do it in the first round, but if there's a developmental quarterback that could be had in round 2 or 3, why not? Take a look at that route. You know, if you could get a guy like Jake Fromm in the second round, that'd be a decent developmental guy down the road for when you're ready to move on from Ryan Tannehill.
Yep. By the way, the Broncos have waived Joe Flacco, and I guess it's their reports are out there just coming out, literally, as we were talking about, a failed physical. So I don't know what that means for Joe Flacco moving forward. I don't know if that means that's the end of the line for him or what. I think he would be intriguing if he was healthy and upright, but I don't know if that's the case or not. Terry, appreciate it as always.
It's weird to me that he can fail the physical when there's not supposed to be any contact with anyone.
Yeah, that is a little bit strange. Hey, thanks for doing this. We'll talk to you down the road.
All right, sounds good. Thanks.
Terry McCormick, TitanInsider.com. We'll come back and wrap up the second hour of Darren Donick and Chase next. Been a good hour. Dennis Kelly, you just heard from Terry McCormick, talking a lot about what the Titans have done. It's been a busy week for the NFL and the Tennessee Titans. We will keep that train rolling to kick off the third hour. We'll head down to Atlanta. Chris Domino has been a staple down there on the airwaves for a long time, and we're going to check in with Chris and get his thoughts on the signing of Vic Beasley, what he thinks of that moving forward for the Titans. Kind of.
I thought we were going to talk to him about the 91 Braves.
Yeah, no.
He said he could talk about that.
No. You did. You said you were going to talk about that.
But then he replied and said, oh, I got you there. Don't worry.
Yeah. Oh, well, he
we
can.
We could add everything.
Yeah, he can do that. In fact, I think this would be a good time to put this out there. We brought this up yesterday, and I think this needs to be our homework assignment, and we can work it into tomorrow's show because, as we talked about at the beginning of the show, today would be, in fact, right now, we would be underway. The NCAA tournament would officially be in full-on mode, right? We would already have probably two games that have tipped, maybe three at this point, and we would be talking about, you know, who's up right now 14-5, and, you know, we don't have that. But Barrett Media, Sports Media, put out a SportsCenter bracket yesterday, and I think we should fill out our SportsCenter bracket. I don't think we need to talk to each other about anything. I think we just need to remain silent, fill out our bracket. And then tomorrow, let's reveal our results.
Yeah, I'm down. I think that'd be fun. We were, you know, looking at it yesterday during the show, and I like it. Some of the seedings I don't agree with, but I think it's cool.
I forgot to bring it home with me yesterday. I'm gonna have to find it online.
Find it online and print it.
I'll send you the link right now.
You have a printer at the Donick household?
Yeah, it's been a while since I've used it.
Oh boy, wow.
I think it'll work. I think it'll work.
You think it'll work? That was not encouraging.
If I have to manually write it down, I can do it. It can be done.
Put it in one of your manila folders. Write it down on one of those folders.
I can do that. I have many of those on hand.
And maybe we don't reveal everything tomorrow. Maybe we take it round by round. I don't know. We'll just kind of fly by the seat of our pants and see what we think moving forward. But I think we should fill out our brackets and see how close we are and how far away we are.
Yeah, I think that'd be fun. Be a lot of fun.
Yeah. So let's do that tomorrow. Mike Taylor on Twitter has just tweeted me because per our discussion of Pop-Tarts, Willie, I don't remember exactly what made you bring up Pop-Tarts yesterday or the other day on the show.
That's right.
Yeah, okay. And you were saying, you know, what's the scene like for Pop-Tarts right now at the stores? Is this a hot commodity?
That's what reminded me. You were eating a Pop-Tart, and we had two discussions. One was, do you prefer straight out of the package, or are you one that would prefer to have it toasted when necessary? And then the other thing was with the issues at the grocery stores, and we remind people, do not hoard food when you go in there. You've been urged by all of the officials. Our governor has said it. Our mayor has said it. Get what you need. Think of other people, okay? But we were speculating that since there's been a run on a number of things, would Pop-Tarts likely be on the shelf in plentiful numbers, or would they be the thing that people would most jump to clear out?
Well, Mike has weighed in on that. He has pictures from Walmart. I don't know. He didn't say the location, but the shelves that he took pictures of are empty of a lot of things. I mean empty. But he said he just wanted to give a Pop-Tart update and said there are plenty on the shelves at this particular Walmart. Like I said, I don't have a location, but he did show pictures of other shelves in the store, completely bone dry, nothing there. But he said, so far, to answer the question, there are plenty of Pop-Tarts. So I guess the question. They're not very popular.
Well, look, I'm not a fan of the Pop-Tart. I'm just not. Never had
even in the toaster?
No. No.
Not even made it up, huh?
It's weird, yeah. I know a lot of people that do, that love them, and I never have. Nothing against them. It's just I don't like them.
I don't know if, Willie, you've ever done this, but pull them right out of the toaster when they pop up, and then you go, ow, 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 they're really, really hot, and put a little bit of butter on them and let it melt. Oh, that's not bad. That's not, I'm just telling you. Don't knock it until you try it.
I think I have only enjoyed them as a cereal-esque, you know, dry, non-toasted item. Maybe a couple of times have I taken the time to toast them, but usually I just grab them on the go. It's an on-the-go thing.
Yeah. Chase, I need a little help with our buddy G-Pander, 78 on Twitter. He has referred to me as Paul Heyman?
Heyman.
But he said I have better hair. What does that mean?
So Paul Heyman.
You said, is Paul D-Mac the Paul Heyman with better hair of 102.5 The Game?
You are very familiar with Brock Lesnar. And
yes.
So Brock Lesnar, the WWE champion, his longtime manager and like actually his manager in real life too, is a guy named Paul Heyman. Paul is great at giving promos because Brock is not. Brock should never hold a microphone. So Paul speaks for him. So you're kind of like the main voice of the show because you're the first voice that everybody hears. So you're like the Paul Heyman of the show. But, yes, you do have better hair.
So he's just a spokesman for Lesnar?
Basically, he's a manager. He's in the front office with WWE as a writer. He's a long time, you know, he used to own ECW. Our buddy Bob Cole actually worked with him back in the day.
Really?
When ECW was on TNN. So he was
Willie,
a promoter.
I'm going to ask you the next time you see Helmet, to ask him about Heyman, what he thinks about Heyman. Because I don't know what to make of G-Pander. I don't know if it's a compliment and if it's a shot. I don't know because I don't know the guy.
It's a compliment. As a wrestling fan, it's a compliment for me because Paul Heyman's awesome.
Okay. All right. I'll take it then. Mike has weighed back in and said it was the Walmart down in Murfreesboro on Memorial Boulevard. Okay. There you go. Just like that. So we found out the Pop-Tarts are really not that popular. There's still plenty on the shelves if you would like to get one. And I am and G Pander wants to think, he thinks that I'm kind of the Paul Heyman of 102.5 The Game. So there we go. That's what we learned to close out this second hour. Boy, we ended with a bang. Let's go down to Atlanta. Let's find out a little bit more about Vic Beasley. What does Chris Domino think about the Titans signing of Vic Beasley? We'll do that to kick off the third hour of Darren Donica Chase. That's next.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hurry into Menards right now and save big money. Miracle-Gro Raised Bed Soil helps you grow bigger, more bountiful plants. It provides the right foundation your plants need to thrive with a 100% organic formula that requires no mixing. Add Miracle-Gro Raised Bed Soil to help your plants grow with organic nutrients you can count on. Visit our garden center or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save big.